evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, June 7, 2019. Unknown gunmen attacked Kobar Prison, where former Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir is reportedly being held.
The authorities in Khartoum confirmed last evening that by the loyalists of hostage President Omar al-Bashir tried to access Kobar main prison in Khartoum North, where people believe he has been put, possibly to free him or relocate al-Bashir.
And students in Rumbek town went on rampage.
They say no, we cannot go anywhere. I say why? And the system... And the education system can take you from here to there. And then later take you from there to there. And you cannot say, this school is my school, I will not go anywhere. That is a part of argument between me and them.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Authorities in the Sudanese capital say hundreds of armed men attempted to break into Kobar Maximum Prison last night. There are also reports of what appears to be organized robberies across several neighborhoods of Khartoum town. The police says the attackers are suspected to be loyalists of former President Omar al-Bashir, who are trying to cause chaos in the city. It's not clear where al-Bashir is being held after the junta ousted him in April. Our reporter Mongo Ugali in Khartoum has been closely monitoring developments, including the visit by the Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed.
Police authorities in Khartoum have confirmed last evening that by the loyalists of hostage President Omar al-Bashir last evening to try to access Kobar main prison in Khartoum North, where people believe he has been put, possibly to free him or relocate al-Bashir to and maybe other prisoners. There is no report of arrest in connection with this particular incident. More security forces have been deployed around the prison.
Kobar Prison is a maximum prison, well guarded. Were there any exchange of gunfire, or what was it like? What is the police saying?
Police have not reported any sort of exchange of gunfire, but they just say, yes, we have stopped an attempt from this number of people who were trying to access the prison, and or whether these people actually who came, they were armed or not. So these are yet the information need to be confirmed in the coming days.
The other news coming from Khartoum is that the Ethiopian Prime Minister, Abiy Ahmed, is in town. Do you know who he has met and what are his plans?
Yeah, Abiy Ahmed arrived Khartoum this morning. And as we speak, he is still engaged in a series of meetings. He met with the Sudanese military junta. But the outcome of this meeting has yet to be announced.
Let's talk about the response from the pro-democracy protesters. What are they saying about Abiy's presence in the city?
The presence of Abiy in town has been actually welcomed so much by the protesters. People are really waiting for the outcome of this meeting with the military council and also the opposition group. In a hope, Abiy might bring the Sudanese parties together again on the negotiation table, and you know they can move forward with the country and bring about peace and stability once again in Sudan.
What is the latest now? Are you still indoors? Are you still confined to your sitting room and bedroom? Are you able to move out of your house?
Last night, there have been series of gang attacks by unknown groups on civilians in some parts of Khartoum, such as Omdurman, Ombada, areas in Khartoum South, like Kalakla, and also in Eastern Nile region, areas of Haj Yusuf and around those areas. This morning, there have been exchange accusations between military council and the Freedom and Change Coalition. Each side is trying to accuse other side being behind the unknown group. So what this unknown group done last night, they caused a lot of havoc and chaos among people, attacking houses, attacking people in their houses, you know, looting their properties. They are not armed, but they possess things like panga, things like knives and other stuff like that. So threatening local community, you know, looting their mobile phones and money and other things like that. So last night, actually, there was a lot of chaos and havoc in these areas where I have just mentioned, to the extent of people actually went to the mosque using the big megaphone of the mosque, calling upon people to come out and try to, you know, to resist and to get ready for any attack that might happen from this gang group. This morning, as I went to the nearby market, I have witnessed and seen by my own eyes nearly 30 of this group that has been arrested and put, you know, just parade in front of the main the police station in Jebel Aulia headquarters. This is one of the areas that has witnessed such incident last night.
That's our reporter Mongo Ogale speaking with me from Khartoum earlier today. As Sudan's unrest continues, women in the country say they must have a voice in any future government. Independent researcher Sumaya Al-Nagar says there's still a lot of work to do in educating women about their rights.
This is not the first time that Sudanese women participate in the revolution, and the same thing has happened every time. They are part of the revolution, and when then laws are made and constitutions are made, they are sidelined. So learning from history, they have to think ahead. And in fact, they have been preparing for this moment for many, many, many years now, trying to push the Islamist government to reform the laws that are discriminating against women and for the ratification of CEDAW. They have not managed to do so, but they have been preparing. So now the time is really now. Obviously, in a situation where the military is now slaughtering civilians, we cannot talk about legal reform. We have to have a transition to a civil government. But key in that process is, so what should the role of Islam be in this new state? And you cannot discuss that question without discussing women's rights, because when you look at the codification of laws, those that are termed as Islamic laws in Sudan are laws that are extremely important to women's rights in the country.
Yeah, I just want what you said, you see, these feminist issues, progressive demands, what I talked about, it is an elitist, highly educated women who are discussing this, activists. But if you go to the average Sudanese women, still a lot of work has to be done with them. We need to educate them about their rights. We need really to raise their awareness, you see. And this is the challenge with the government, you see. It was not easy to reach all these women with the Islamist regime. It was not easy to reach. They reached, because they have the power, they have the resources and this, but activists who have this feminist progressive thinking, you see, they have problem reaching. But now that's what we hope, is that we hope we have this progressive agenda and then try to mobilize all the women in order to know at least their rights, in order, to afterwards to really demand, you see, have demands for their rights. But if you go to the average Sudanese woman, she just wants the basic livelihood rights, you see. But she would not think about discrimination, about violence and this. No, because part of the culture, you see, approve and accept the violence against women.
So where do Sudanese women stand right now?
Well, it's the same as it was before the deadlock. I mean, despite setbacks, they continue to go to the streets and protest. I mean, the role is not to give up. And then added to that, to pressure the SPA and the Declaration for Freedom and Change to include women. I mean, that's
Yeah, they are. Now I get videos of protests of this. They are there, you see. They are not afraid, you see. They don't fear getting out, you see. And we will continue, as my friend Liv said. We will continue.
That was Liv Tesson, a research director at the CHR Michelsen Institute in Norway, and Sumaya Nagar, an independent researcher on Sudan, speaking to my colleague Ayen Dengbior in Washington. Students at Agergum primary school in Western Lake State went on rampage today in Rumbek Town. The students were protesting a decision by the State Ministry of Education to transfer four teachers accused of impregnating students at the school. Western Lake State Minister of Education says the police dispersed the students and Rumbek Town is back to normal.
I got that complaint. I said, okay, what we will do, we will change, let's change. Took those guilty teachers to other schools, and we form a board of inquiry.
When teachers impregnate students, they are supposed to be taken to court or dismissed. Why would you transfer them to another school?
No, we are in that process. We are in that process because I cannot dismiss them without getting a full matter. Because I got information and then I changed them. This is what happened.
The students went on rampage, destroying properties and beating people in Rumbek Town. How is the situation right now?
The situation is very calm. It's very calm. Because I was in town and I was in my military. It's only not big damage. Just a little bit. Yeah.
And some foreigners, some foreigners are also complaining that they were targeted by these students.
No.
Some foreigners are saying they were targeted. Why is it that in Rumbek foreigners are being targeted?
No, it's just only one person who say one boy hit me with a fish. Just one person. But all of them are normal. No injuries from Fredhead and no injuries from the boy. And even the boys are okay. They return back to school. Situation now is calm, very calm.
Some journalists also reported that their equipments, cameras and recorders were snatched from them by the police to prevent them from recording this riot.
No, that is lie. Because they called me and I say, now I'm in meeting with the governor when I finish, and then you come to me, and then I will explain what happened. Even now, I'm waiting for them. That one is not true.
I mean, you were not there. How do you know that it's not true?
I was in the town. I was there. I was with the police and some urban police and some agents. And no one has been harmed. Nothing like that. No one has been harmed.
You are a minister in the state government, and hopefully your job is to protect the image of the state, but the reality on the ground is different, Honorable Joseph.
No, no. I'm totally very fair person. I don't lie to you. If there is something serious, I will tell you. If you can fear nothing bad happened to boys and nothing bad happened to fathers, and even in my military, just a little bit windows has been broken. So this is what happened.
But the students were not happy because you transferred teachers who are impregnating students. Is that the genesis of the problem?
That is true. That is true. They say there are no system. Whatever you do, no one can transfer you. You can stay like that. I said no. There is no country whereby no system. There is system. And we must make system to work. If there is no system, why you call ourselves a nation.
Talking about systems in the Ministry of Education, if a teacher impregnates a student, what is supposed to happen?
Well, as I told you before, I got a complaint from parents of the girl, and then I told them I will walk into this one. What I did, I transferred them, and then after I transfer, and then I formed the board for the discipline to investigate.
You have formed a board to investigate the four teachers.
To investigate, to investigate really what happened. So they say, no, we cannot go anywhere. I say, why? And the system, an education system can take you from here to there. And then later take you from there to there. And you cannot say, in school, in my school, I will not go anywhere. That is a part of argument between me and them.
But what if they run away from where you transfer them? Where will you get them?
Well, we will get them. Because we here, we know each other. We will get them.
That's Joseph Malip Mathiang, the State Minister of Education in Western Lakes State. He was speaking with me from Rumbek Town earlier today. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a female journalist in South Sudan is awarded for her work. Find out who that journalist is right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
is there one song that you love to sing? What is it? Sing a little for us.
I stand amazed in your presence. There is nothing you want to. It's a gospel song that just says every time you're in God's presence, you're just amazed. There's nothing he can't do.
My favorite song is John Legend, All of Me. Let me sing the chorus. All of me loves all of you.
A song that I'd love to sing is Circle of Life, that was sung in The Lion King, the first movie. So the beginning goes, Natimenya sebabi sebabayo
siyo gwenyama. What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. A South Sudanese female journalist has won this year's Women in News Editorial Leadership Award from the World Association of Newspapers and News Publishers. The award recognizes an exemplary contribution of an editor to a newsroom and the contribution of her paper to society. Winnie Chirino has more for VOA from Juba.
The winner, Anna Nimriano, editor-in-chief of the Juba Monitor, says she dedicates her award to female journalists across Africa who have suffered while covering conflicts. Nimriano says she received an email in April from the World Association of Newspapers and News Publishers informing her she had won and received her award last Sunday in Glasgow, Scotland. Nimriano says the award is about recognizing the hard work of female journalists in the newsroom.
I wish journalists will own this award. I'm bearing the name, but it is dedicated to them so that they will do their work professional in newsroom and they will be able to endure the challenges they're facing in the newsroom.
Nimriano says an unidentified security operative once threatened to do away with her for publishing the wrong picture of a senior military officer in her newspaper. She says the operative threatened her several times even after she wrote an apology letter until the media authority intervened on her behalf. Nimriano says during her work as an editor-in-chief of the Juba Monitor, the National Security Service threatened several times to shut down the newspaper. She says security officers harassed and intimidated her for publishing stories which the government termed sensitive.
When I was threatened by one of the government officials and I was under arrest in my office, what I just saw, a security guy came to enter to my office without even saying hi to me, and I saw a police with a gun extended at the door of my office. So it was just when we wrote an editorial about the garbage in Juba City. So they say like we are tarnishing the name of the government.
Nimriano says the number of media houses in South Sudan is falling when it should be increasing at this critical time when people want to know more about what's happening in the country. She says many journalists have left the business after being harassed or intimidated by government and security officials. Nimriano is encouraging female journalists to stay strong and focus on what they want to achieve rather than quitting.
Let them not get discouraged, whatever the situations they are getting when they're in the newsroom. Let them stand firm and be brave. And when they're doing their work, let them put God ahead of everything. And the other things I know, female journalists, sometimes they're not sharing their problems or their challenges. But if they're facing any problems in the newsroom, let them share so that they will get solutions.
Nimriano says there is a need to build a stronger network of African journalists so they can share their challenges and talk about solutions. In March, Nimriano was ranked the 8th in the world's 50 greatest leaders by the American Best magazine, Fortune. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Malawi, where opposition supporters are angry about the re-election of President Peter Mutharika and have clashed with the police, who used tear gas to break up the protest. Two opposition leaders this week launched a legal challenge against the election results, saying the vote was rigged. Mutharika has warned the police and the military will put a stop to the protest. Lamek Masina reports for VOA from Lilongwe.
Malawi police used tear gas Thursday to disperse supporters of the opposition Malawi Congress Party protesting Peter Mutharika's re-election. On Tuesday, protesters stormed government offices in the capital, Lilongwe, and accused the ruling Democratic Progressive Party of rigging the polls with the help of the president-appointed Malawi Electoral Commission. Ezekiel Chingoma is the spokesperson for the opposition Malawi Congress Party.
You know what happened? MEC, instead of being a neutral referee in these elections, it was MEC that was in the forefront of rigging these elections.
Malawi's Electoral Commission denies any vote rigging. Commission chairperson Jenny Ansah on May 27 announced the official election results.
The commission has thoroughly reviewed all the complaints that were lodged for the presidential election, and we declare the presidential elections to be free and fair, and these results are the true reflection of the will of the people of Malawi.
The MEC declared Mutharika won re-election with 39% of the vote, while opposition Malawi Congress Party leader Lazarus Chakwera was a close second with 35%. Vice President Saulos Chilima's opposition, United Transformation Movement Party, came in third with 20%. Chilima told reporters Friday that he has evidence in the form of a letter which proves that MEC chairperson Jenny Ansah was part of plans to rig the elections. He has given her 5 days to resign.
At this stage, it will be me and her who are privy to the contents. But should she not resign, then the public will know the contents on Friday next week.
MEC officials could not comment on the matter as they were said to be locked in a meeting. Chakwera and Chilima are challenging the election results in court, alleging ballot stuffing and the use of TPEX correction fluid to change votes. Humphrey Zimvula is a political analyst based in Malawi's commercial capital, Blanta.
I've never known in my life anywhere where a contest which is decided by number of votes, then you have used TPEX. You have used the strange eraser. You have a problem. Because, again, the use of eraser was occasioned by the fact that possibly those figures were not able to balance using the computer system.
Malawi's Constitutional Court has not yet announced a date for hearing the case, but opposition supporters have vowed to continue protests until Malawi's election results are withdrawn and a new vote held, raising the prospect of further crashes. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Lilongwe.
Artists in Nyeri River State are using their talents to promote reconciliation and peaceful coexistence among communities torn apart by conflict that killed thousands of people and displaced thousands of others in the area. Daniel Friday Martin has more for VOA from Nyeri Town.
In a stand-up routine at a free concert in Yei Town last weekend, local comedian Kennedy Malice, known by his stage name Koroko Jerry, encouraged people to take it easy despite the suffering they have endured over the past few years. As thousands of former IDPs return from their hideouts and refugees return from neighboring countries, singers and comedians here say they want to use their talents to urge people to reconcile. The peace concert, which took place at the Youth Gardens, gave singers and comedians the chance to preach peaceful coexistence to the different communities in Yei. Speaking in Arabic, Koroko J says songs and comedy about peace can help people traumatized by war.
We need to promote love and social cohesion in our country. Our entertainment also unites and relieves people who suffered anger because of the conflict. We are also requesting NGOs dealing in peace building to take comedians to the rural areas to encourage people with messages of peace in the villages.
Local comedian Angelo Kong Kong, known as Jangling on Stage, says his comedy focuses on rebuilding hope and broken relations among displaced people.
Our comedy is all about peace and reconciliation because many of us ran to the refugee camps and some lost all their properties and their beloved ones. But we need people to begin a new page of forgiveness and forget the past. We also need the government to know that the voice of the people is peace.
Yay-based singer Metaloro Dominic sings a song about convincing people to live together in harmony. Dominic wants the government and opposition to end the war so young people like him can focus on rebuilding the country.
We are tired of war. We are tired of going to refugee camps. We are tired of seeing our people dying. We are tired of our women being raped. We are tired of everything. Just what we need is peace. And we want to see development. We need schools. We need good roads.
Dominic says, although musicians are often questioned by authorities, especially during night shows, they will continue promoting peace and reconciliation. Concert grower Charles Lomude says, today's youth like himself see music as a catalyst for social change.
I'm refreshed because, you know, coming together is really good in a peaceful way. Music mostly bring most of the youths together. I think now the common thing we South Sudanese want to do is coming together for the common purpose, which is peace. We need all our societies to be in a peaceful manner. Through music, we need to come together so that we move ahead with our country.
Concert goer Sida Caroline says she met her friends at the concert, friends she had never seen during the 3 years conflict in the area.
This comedy really brings a lot of peace. For me, I'm really very excited today, seeing my friends, great people from different places, from different tribes. You know, comedy is all about laughing. If you're stressed and you see someone giving a lot of comedies, a lot of things, you just be very happy. You forget of all the things you were facing. Because of music, I say, peace have come to South Sudan. What I'm urging our people in South Sudan is we should just come together. We should embrace on peace.
Koroko J, Jangalin and Dominic all say they would like to organize more music and comedy shows in other parts of the country affected by conflict, but need to raise money to do so. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Yeetown.
That's our show for this Friday, and we will continue to leave you with South Sudanese music. This one is entitled Bondo Sakit by John Frog.
Ubenum Firakuba, Ubisi Marabay, Ubenum the Hotel, Devinia Sukar, Gita Zubayaba, the Wallet Sukar, Gita Sukamama, the Aboba Ajus, Ubumasa Karem, Galurua Fi Dubai, Tarawen Fi Godele, Bezola Gatmiza, Tarawen Luchatan.
We've been listening to John Frog with the song Bondo Sakit. I must admit, this is one of my best songs because it talks about life in South Sudan. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend and join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Kabir Wawir, Baku Lukatir, Galabu Tawazir, Ube Jafi Kalab, Umaindu Tadir, Ube Jibin Yabibe, Umaindu Sarir, Dola Little Tid, Waya Lizagali, Bruja Bigamafi.